day today. Everybody put in a full day of work today. And what an unbelievable, unbelievable testament to your dedication, to the nature of the staff here, to every single one of you individually, for being here tonight to learn Torah. This is awesome. This is really unbelievable. Ashreichem, this is really unbelievable. We don't take this for granted at all. The Yerushalmi says that anyone who learns Torah and performs acts of chesed, to literally be in the presence of God all the time. The shiluv of working hard during the day and learning hard in the evening is something that is extraordinary. We don't take it for granted. And I just have to say thank you to all of you for being here, for making our camp a place of not just Avodas Hashem, and not just Tikkun HaMidos, not just Gemilas Chasadim, but also Limra Torah. Specifically during these Bein HaMetzarim, where we're turning toward the women in Klal Yisrael to make it happen, because we know the trouble that the men get into. We're turning toward the Nashim Tzidkaniyos to really carry it. And you don't disappoint. It's really, really extraordinary. I want to just express our Hakar Satov to Rabbi Taragin for being here tonight and for agreeing to be a part of this summer in a very central way, to really be the backbone of our Women's Beit Medrash program. For years we've been working and trying. We've had different personalities at the core of our Beit Medrash. I want to just, like, for a moment, give Hakar Satov for over the years, all the work that went into our, specifically to our women's learning program. Shana Cantor was a mashpia here one summer, and Shuli really has done so much to put women's learning and your personal growth and spiritual growth at the center of our program. And to thank all of the incredible staff members over the years who have been a part of this, I think that there's been like a real Malam Kodesh. And we're very grateful to Rabbi Taragin for committing to be here Bezrat Hashem throughout the summer to really create a cohesive unit of Limud HaTorah and to really help us take our learning and our growing to the next level. I'll just point out, pay attention to the Beis Medrash schedule that's posted and the text messages that go out and to the beautiful signs that Bela made in the back of the Beis Medrash that really adorn our shul, of all the different opportunities for learning that go on every single night here. It's really extraordinary. I think you'll be hard-pressed to find in life more opportunities for formal and informal learning and growing than you will this summer. And that's something that we're very committed to and also very proud of. All of the learning this summer, all of the zechuyot, all of the positivity, all of the good reverberations in this world and in the upper worlds that are taking place, bechlal ubefrat, on a communal level, on a camp-wide level, and also befrat on a very personal level, all of that goodness and all of those zechuyot should be for the complete healing and refuah shleima of Miki Bina, Miriam Bas Chaya, who we're thinking about all the time. They're dear friends of Camp Hask, and Klal Yisrael needs Miki very, very strong to be strong and to be well. So it should be that all of the learning that happens, and specifically the learning in our Women's Beit Medrash program, the Bina family, in Klal Yisrael, there are few who have done more to advance women's Talmud Torah than that extraordinary family. And it should be that in the merit of all of that, Miki should have a complete healing, Bekarov Mamish. Specifically, the learning that's happening in these shiurim with Rabbani Targan and all the preparation and everything that comes along with this, the learning is dedicated in honor of our Aunt Betsy. My Aunt Betsy lives in Chicago. She needs a Yeshua. Alisheva Bas Chaya Feiga. She's my mother's younger sister and my aunt. A wonderful person, a woman of extraordinary midos, a great sense of humor, and a great simchas achayim that's being tested very, very strong. My Aunt Betsy never had the opportunity to learn in any formal or informal way, besides for coming to our family Pesach Seders and maybe some community service things. Never really had the opportunity to learn Torah formally. So we were talking to my parents, and we decided that this would be an appropriate way and a meaningful way to kind of send some goodness their way. They're very, very strong and generous supporters of Camp Hask. Very, very, very much. So it should be that all this learning and all this goodness just send good vibes to Klal Yisrael and Refuos and Yeshuos for all those who are waiting. I'm not even going to introduce Avni Paragin because this full room already is a testament to how excited everyone is that she's here, and I don't want to take away even one more moment of the specific learning. But just wanted to thank our sponsors and thank all of you for being here. This is such a Kiddush Hashem and a night that we're very, very proud of. And Emeretz Hashem, this summer will just be Malon Bekodesh.
Thank you very, very much.
So before Rav Michelle leaves, I just want to express a tremendous hakaras hatov. Again, it's really his initiative, indeed, the Refua Shleima for Aunt Betsy and for Miriam Baschaya Meretz Hashem. But it's really the schuyos of you coming, right? Chazal teach us that it's not just those who come to actually learn, that the Shkar Halicha itself tells us something. But as Rav Michelle knows, and had it not been really Bein HaMitzarim, where Chazal say we shouldn't say Shachiyanu v'shem HaMalchus, I would say v'shem HaMalchus, Shachiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh, because the foundation of having a Beis Medrash for women here in Machaneh Hask and is a truly a remarkable endeavor to know that together with all the chasadim that you're performing every single day, to know that it's rooted in Torah, again, is truly l'shem shamayim. And I can't tell you how excited I've been from the moment that we began discussing this option and saying, wow, what a tremendous schus it is for me to be the one to come to learn Torah with you. And Emeret Hashem, you'll see, to continue learning Torah throughout these summer weeks. And this is what brings me back to really the introduction of Pirkei Avos, where Shimon HaTzadik explains what are the three pillars. Again, al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid, al ha-Torah, al avodah, v'al gemilot chasadim. And Rabbi Tanura explains, even though all three are important, the order is significant as well. And that is Torah. The basis is Torah. That means that avodah and gemilot chasadim, independent one of the other, are extremely important. But when they're rooted in Torah, that's when the avodah, that's when the gemilot chasadim is all the greater. And therefore, in addition to everything that you're doing from the moment you wake up in the morning until you put the kids to sleep at 8:43, then that's when and you get to really get a sense of what the chesed is, if it's going to be enhanced by the Torah learning. In addition to that, and the reason why is you take a look at the Mara Makomos, and that we're going to be focusing the next few weeks on tefillah, is that if our chasadim are rooted in Torah, so much so the Chazal also say, greater is Torah. Again, the Medrash Shemivi Lidei Maaseh. So you are so lucky that you get to take all your Torah and apply it l'maaseh. But wait a second. We said there are three pillars. There's Torah and Avodah. Chazal explain what's Avodah. Ezohi Avodah Shebalev, Zohi Tzvilah. And I think that this is something that perhaps we all struggle with. And that's maybe why Chazal call it really Avodah. This is the hardest work, believe it or not. Because even though then dealing with our campers and helping out and performing chasadim during the summer months and all the more so during the year is tremendous, tremendous chasid. And even though coming out late at night when you're exhausted is for the schar of Torah, and by that, just as Rabbi Michelle said, not just for a schar olam haba, because you're going to see how coming out on a weekly basis is truly going to give you tremendous koach. You know that feeling when every once in a while, and I don't know how many of you will go for a run, right, to clear your head, and after a little while, again, you run out of koach. But you know that the more you run, the more invigorated you're going to be throughout the day. Torah kal v'chomer. Torah is going to give you that koach to help you with the chesed a little more. And the hope then, through our learning, is that we're going to be able to focus on avodah too. To be able to make sure that through our learning, we recognize how our tefillah should be enhanced. So each week, again, we're going to be learning a different aspect of tefillah so that again, one does not necessarily have to come each week. That our next time is going to be after the Tuesday night before Tisha B'Av, and we're going to speak about tefillah, believe it or not, tefillah and Chorban, and what the two have to do one with the other, and how we continue to daven, which initially started at the time, really, of the Beit HaMikdash, through davening with Karbanot, and we're going to relate a little bit of that to that today. Today, we're going to speak, how do we daven without a Beit HaMikdash? So on one hand, and each week is going to stand alone. On the other hand, this is a tefillah series. So I hope that, The establishment of this base medrash will be perpetuated be'ezrat Hashem and with your help as well over the next few weeks. So without further ado, what we're going to do is we're going to start learning Torah together. So we're going to take a story that at first glance doesn't necessarily seem like a tefillah story, but we're going to see how much we can learn about tefillah from the story. And even though we're in the summer months, we all know, again, the forecast here changes from hour to hour. And we never know. It's going to rain. It's not going to rain. But as you, I'm sure many of you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the situation is quite different. And that is that anyone who goes to Eretz Yisrael now, no rain. Right? You know, it's not going to rain now. We wait for the winter months for it to rain. And the rain is so essential, not just for the crops, for our basic survival, that if there isn't sufficient rain, anyone remember by what month do we start davening for rain already? And then we start saying, Mashif HaRuach U'morad HaGashem already, Shmini Atzeret. And then we start, again, 2 weeks afterwards, by Zayin Cheshvan, we're already saying, V'tein Talo Matzah L'Bracha. But if there isn't sufficient rainfall by Kislev, then we add extra tefillot. And where does this idea come from? In Masechet Ta'anit, which deals primarily with taniyot for geshamim, for fast days that are incorporated when there isn't sufficient rain. Chazal incorporated that when we don't have sufficient rain, the first thing we do is daven tefillah, tefillah, tefillah. Uh-oh, what if there isn't rain even after we daven? Then there's a series of fast days, taniyot. First, the Chachamim, the Gedolei Ador are going to fast. And if that doesn't work, again, they're going to fast on a Sunday and a Thursday, a Monday. And then if that doesn't work, they'll fast on a more regular basis. And then if that doesn't work, then we're going to continue davening, but then all of Am Yisrael is going to fast. And if that doesn't work, then the fasts are going to become stricter. They'll start the night before, not the morning before. Again, they're going to become all the more serious and somber fasts. So take a look at the background of the story. We're in Masechet Ta'anit. And now we're going to hear the story of what's known as an Ish Chassid. And please remember that in Talmudic times, an Ish Chassid doesn't mean someone with a Strimel and a Bekesha. Rather, what's an Ish Chassid? Someone who interacts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifnin mishurat hadin. Someone who has a special relationship with Hashem. So we're going to hear the story. Tanu Rabbanan. Pam achat yatsa rov adar v'lo yardu geshamim. Imagine the state in Eretz Yisrael. It's adar. It's right before Nisan. This is the end of the winter. Nisan is the beginning of the spring. And there isn't sufficient rainfall. That doesn't mean that it didn't rain at all. It just means that it didn't rain enough. And you know that if Nisan is going to come and there isn't rain, then what does that mean with regard to the crops? Crops aren't going to grow. Then only weeds are going to grow. We're not going to have anything upon which to survive. So we're in a desperate situation. Let's take a look just for a minute on the bottom of the page where we see a very similar story in the Mishnah. So we're going to see one version as a Braita in the Gemara and the other as a Mishnah. Al kol tzara shelo tavo latzibur matrian aleha. We hear from the Mishnah that anytime there's a tzara, a terrible situation that befalls the community, then we actually blow the chatzot zrot, chutz mirov geshamim. Please remember this, that you're not supposed to daven, you're not supposed to see it as an etzara when there's too much rain. Rather, ma'ase shamru lo l'choni ha-ma'agel, hitpalel she'erdu geshamim. So once a message was sent to this ish chassid, to choni ha-ma'agel, choni daven, so that it will rain. Amar lahem tzu v'hachnisu tanurei psachim. It already just gives you a sense of the time period. They had already made their temporary ovens, their clay ovens, to make the matzah, bishvil shelo yimoku. So because they were temporary, they made them out of clay. Choni is so confident that he's going to bring rain, that he tells them, bring in your clay ovens, because what's going to happen if you leave them outside? The clay is going to turn to mud. Hit palel b'lo yardu geshamim, ma'asa, and then we have the continuation of the story. So this puts it in calendarical context. We understand how dire the situation is, and but at the same time, Choni seems pretty confident. Let's go back to the beginning of the page. Again, they sent a message, shalchu l'choni hama'agil. Can anyone tell me for a minute, has anyone heard this story before, the Choni Hamagel story? Yes, from raise of hands. How many of you know the story? Amazing. Who remembers? Why is his name Choni Hamagel? What did you always learn? Because he made a circle. We're going to see the circle story. But if you never heard of Choni Hamagel, then do you know the circle story? Not necessarily. In which case, I'm wondering, so how do I know he's Choni Hamagel because of the circle if I don't know the circle story? So let's take a look already on the next page, and we're going to see certain stories or certain aspects of what ma'agil means. So on one hand, if you see where it says, what is the significance of a circle? And right after, what's the meaning of Choni HaMa'agil? Let's take a look. Ma'agil means, according to, really this is a modern Hebrew dictionary, and the Evan Shoshan dictionary, Holech B'derech Tov, which is interesting. Someone who goes in a circle is someone who walks in a good path. Generally, I would think that someone who walks in a good path wouldn't go in a circle. He would go in a straight line. But interestingly, Kamo Pelas Ma'og Raglacha. Nonetheless, a circle is like a perfectly circumferential in shape. So he's a good person. Interestingly, there's another explanation. Omi Lashon Ma'agila. And we're going to see where this comes from. A ma'agila is a kli avodah shel tayachim, what a roofer would use. So we're going to get back to this in just a minute. But let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, where does this term ma'agil come from? He says, circula. Everyone see that? The circula. What's it, circula? A circle. It comes from circle. Dikarinan choni ha-ma'agil al shem uga. Like choni, he's called the circle man because he's going to make a circle around himself. But we find a different explanation that's offered based on a Mishnah Masechet Makot. Let's see also, those who went to Eretz Yisrael, anyone go to the Talmudic village of Katsrin? Yes? Excellent. And there they have, again, in the Talmudic village, they have different kalim, different utensils that were used in the time of the Talmud. And they show you a ma'agila. And this is fascinating, because a Masechet Makot that talks about different cases where someone would kill someone b'shogeg by accident, and what do you have to do if you killed someone b'shogeg? Run away to Ir Miklat. Excellent. What's the classic case? Hayam ma'agil b'ma'agila v'nafla ala v'harakto. What does that mean? Someone who was using this ma'agila on top of a roof, and the wind came and blew it away, and what happened? It bumped into someone, basically fell off the roof and killed someone. So that's totally b'shogeg, but he has to run away to a near miklat. So what's a ma'agila? It's one of these rollers, like these tar rollers or cement rollers that you would use to tar down a rooftop. Also going to Eretz Yisrael, you see how the Arabs till today build flat roofs. Why? So that not only practically it's easier to build up on a flat roof, but you could also use your roof, especially in Eretz Yisrael. What do you want to use your roof for? A reservoir of water, right? This way it can collect the water, and some people really do that till today. But in order for it to collect the water and not to go through your rooftop, what do you have to do? You have to tar it down. That's Choni. He uses a ma'agila, and he's the one who tars rooftops. Right? I always think of these little tykes, you know, vacuum cleaners, you know, the ones that make noise as you roll them. It's one of these rollers, right? That's what a ma'agila is. What does that already tell you then about Choni? What's his profession? Right? Like many of the early Tana'im of this generation, and we find in addition to being tremendous Torah scholars, they also had different professions. So Choni's entire parnasa is dependent on rain. If there isn't rain, does anyone want to tar their rooftop? Certainly not. Again, and we see this also in Moed Katan, a similar idea. So let's turn back to Choni HaMa'agil. It seems that everyone knows Choni is the roller, right? The roller for rain. And they turn to him. Hitpalel v'yardu kishonim. Choni, we need you to daven so that there's going to be rain. Now, please keep in mind that it's already Adar, and we're in Masechet Tanit, which means that has everyone been davening? Yes, because that's the standard halacha. There isn't rain, you daven, you fast. You daven, you fast. Again, all going on at the same time. So I'm sure Choni's been davening, but they know there's something about Choni's tefillah. So Choni davens also, but here's our proof. It hasn't been working. V'lo yardu geshamim. So what does Choni do? Ag uga va'amad v'tocha. Right? He made, again, in the ground, a circle, and he stood in the circle. And this always bothered me, right? Why dafka a circle? Right? So I asked here, why a circle and not a triangle? Why a circle and not a square? Why a circle and not a trapezoid? Again, what's so significant about the circle? So much so that let's just continue for a moment. And if we turn the page once more to Avot Rabbi Natan, we hear of a story that Chazal tell us, which clearly was influenced from the Choni story. And that is this, that when Miriam contracted Sara'at, what do Chazal say? Voto sha'a ag Moshe ugaktana. You should know that when Miriam was sick with Sara'at, remember that in Parshat Vahalotcha, after she spoke Lashon Hara? And so Moshe made a small circle, v'amad b'tocha, u'bikesh rachamim alah, v'amar ini zaz mikan, ad shetetrapei Miriam achuti. And he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Hashem, I'm not getting out of the circle until you heal Miriam. Anyone remember the story? Does it say this in the Psukim? No, it doesn't say this in the Psukim. Clearly, Chazal were inspired by which story when they wrote this Medrash on Moshe? The Choni story. Choni really did make a circle. So why is this idea of a circle? Why did Moshe draw a circle? Why did Choni draw a circle? What's the significance of a circle? And what does a circle express that a trapezoid doesn't express? Circular. And a cycle, beautiful, right? The Lion King, the circle of life again. That's the cycle of life. That's exactly what he's trying to say. He's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm standing in the middle of the circle of the cycle of life. Again, there is no way that we can continue living without Geshem. Again, Geshem is part of this cycle. Again, the whole point of what rain is about is so that we can connect the rains from Shamayim to the rains of the Aretz. Do you remember when you created the world? You said that there is going to be Geshem Yishamayim, that man is going to have to work for in order for us to make sure that there's a continuous maintenance between the world up above, the Shamayim, and the Mayim Elyonim, and the Mayim Tachtonim. So Hashem, I'm part of the circle. So bring rain, bring rain. Beautiful. What's your name?
Robin.
Robin, excellent. Any other ideas of the circle? Think of, right now, if I would draw a circle, I think I'm really going to do this. I'm going to, bring chalk to this year. And a flea meter. And I draw a circle, just so you can get a sense. What happens if I would draw, and it's one thing if I'm standing here, what would happen if I would draw a circle around myself? Excellent. I'm separating myself from all of you. Right? I'm basically saying, this is my sphere, right? Don't cross the line. I'm in my own circle. To a certain degree, that's exactly what Choni wants to do. Just like Maki said, he's putting himself in his own world. He's basically saying, okay, my zone right now, everyone else, and we're going to see how significant this is for the story, everyone else, you stay in a different zone because I'm in my circle, which means that I'm going to be doing something a little different. I'm going to be relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that you're not used to relating to Hashem. So stay tuned. And that's another reason why both in the Moshe Rabbeinu case and in the Choni case, Dafka circle. But Chazal tell us what happens when he stands in the circle. It's not enough for them to say that's what Choni does. Ag ugava mad betocha. Kederach sha'asa Habakkuk Hanavi. But right away, Chazal are comparing Choni, who, by the way, is living in at the turn of the first century CE, to Habakkuk, who lived in the middle of the 8th century BCE. So they live about 800 years apart. And Chazal are saying what Choni did, actually, a Nabi who lived 800 years before also did. So firstly, let me just ask you, how many of you know Habakkuk? How many of you have learned Habakkuk? Okay, hands raised a little higher. Just like, okay, here, this is my educational point. Do you mind? Little tangent for a moment. How many of you have read Huckleberry Finn? Okay, how many of you have read The Scarlet Letter? Okay, how many of you have learned Hamlet or Macbeth? Okay, now we're gonna try this again. How many of you have learned Habakkuk? Everyone got my educational message over there? Again, Habakkuk is one of the Treyasar, one of the Chazalit Sefri Tanakh. Again, this should be like core curriculum. Okay, I could go on and on, but we're going to stop the tangent right now. But Hamid and Yavin. Okay, back to Habakkuk. Who was Habakkuk? So, in fact, Chazal tell us, remember, Habakkuk hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that soon after the Ashurim, the Assyrians, invaded Eretz Yisrael, he hears, Hashem says, okay, now it's time to tell B'nai Yisrael that the Babylonians are coming. So Habakkuk turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Hashem, really, really? Mama tafuk Torah tacha. Hashem, how can we stay so committed to Torah when you send us punishment after punishment? So he turns to Hashem and he says, Al mishmarti emoda. ותיצבה על מצור. הקדוש ברוך הוא, I am not moving from here until you give me an answer as to why all these terrible things are happening. And I am staying in my place. So notice how Chazal say, so I know you're thinking of Choni. Choni, in just a minute, is going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not moving from my circle until you bring rain. And what are you all thinking? Choni has a lot of chutzpah, right? The chet goes very well. Again, he has a lot of chutzpah, but don't worry. There was a chet navi before him who also had a lot of chutzpah. Who's that? Habakkuk. Now, by the way, Chazal do this. You're going to see this later on in the story as well. Chazal do this very often. They compare Talmudic personalities to biblical personalities. Anyone know why? Why compare someone who lives 800 years later to someone who lived 800 years before? So this is part of the Masorah, right? For us to understand that even though we're living in different times in history, and even though we're living with different milieu and different reality, that there really are connections between us and the generations before us. So even though Choni sounds like an iconoclast, like a really, interesting, strange personality, don't worry, we've had these before. Again, even in Tanakh, a Navi. Now, as soon as you see the Chazal are comparing Choni, the Tana, right, who's living, as we said, at the time of the first century CE, to someone who lived 800 years before him, who was a Navi, you're wondering, but that's a little strange, because he's a Tana and he's a Navi. In other words, one is living in like modern times, right? It's all relative, but modern to his times. And a Navi is very different. Can anyone tell me what's the difference between a Tana, who is living during the times? We're going to see the Beis HaMikdash is still standing, but soon it's not going to be standing. And what's the difference between someone who's living in a time of Nevuah versus someone who's living without Nevuah? What does Nevuah provide for that's going to be lacking when we don't have prophecy? A direct line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful. Again, Daniel is 100% right. That basically, Chazal are telling us, look at Choni, but he's going to remind you of a Navi, which is a little strange, because a Navi has a direct relationship with Hashem. Okay, what is it that Choni says with his chutzpah? Amar lepanav, ribono shalolam. Everyone's looking at me. They're all looking at me. And they're coming to me because, Hashem, you and I, we have a great relationship. I'm a ben bayit. I like kind of live with you, Hashem. Come on, we get along really well. And you're getting a sense of this like chutzpah over here. Nishbani b'shemcha gadol. So I swear in your name, Sheini zazmikan, I am not leaving my circle. Ad sheterachem al banacha. Until you have mercy for Am Yisrael. Hitzchilu gishamim menatzvim. Lo and behold, what happens? Drip, drip, drip. It starts to rain. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so strange. He basically is kind of chutzpah dik to Hashem, and Hashem's giving in to him. Like, tell me, if your parents would do this, you say, and or with your campers, I don't know exactly what the policy is, but let's say you try this with your parents. No, I don't like dinner tonight. I'm not coming to the dinner table unless you serve, hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries, because I'm not going to eat the chicken cutlets and the peas and carrots. Right? What will your parents rightly say? What will your mother say? I'm not coming to the table unless you make hamburgers and hot dogs. What will your parents say? Okay, so do not come to the table. Right? Meaning as simple as that. And chances are what's going to happen after a few minutes? You're going to be so hungry that you'll come out and eat the chicken cutlet, right? That is called, again, more or less, good parenting, right? Or like the Adler approach, not to enter even into a cycle of resistance. Again, but back to this, it seems that Choni, with his chutzpah and audacity, turns to Hashem, and Hashem is answering him. And drop, drop, drop. Nonetheless, Talmidav, here's the proof that he's in his own zone, because his Talmidim say, Rebbe, one second, Choni, again, our Rebbe over here, Rianucha, can you please look at us? Velo namut, we're still going to die. Kemedumim anu she'en kishamim yoredim, ela lahatir shvo atacha. It seems that Hashem is just giving minimal rainfall to absolve you of your shvua, so that you'll come out of the circle. But come on, Choni, this isn't enough for us to live. So what does Choni do? Tell me who he reminds you of. He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Lo kach sha'alti. Excuse me, Hashem, this is not what I asked for. I asked for real rain. I asked for gishmei borot, rains that will fill up the cisterns. Borot sichin u'ma'arot, you know, the ones that are going to fill up and irrigate the various trees. So then what happens? Your dupe is off. All of a sudden, the rain started coming down in torrents. And shekol tipa v'tipa kimalei pi chavit. Until every drop was like the size of a barrel. And when I was growing up, there was a commercial. Some of you remember this commercial? The commercial was, you asked for it, you got it, Toyota. You remember this? You remember it? Again, excellent, thank you. Again, in other words, they were trying to say, you want a Toyota, you got a Toyota. And I think about that every time I get to see that. And Choni asked for something, Hashem, rain. Okay, rain. No, I don't like this rain. I like that rain. You asked for it, Choni. You got it. Okay, boom, here's all the rain you could ask for. What do you think Choni does? Excuse me, Hashem. Again, lo kach sha'alti. This is not what I asked for. His talmidim turn again and say, Rebbe, reyanucha v'lo namot, kemedumim anu she'en geshamim yordin, ela la beit olam, Choni, the waters are coming like Noah to destroy the world. Amar lefanav. Notice Choni doesn't even engage with the people outside of his circle, just him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo kach sha'alti. Hashem, I didn't ask for this either. Ela gishmei ratzon, bracha, unedava. Hashem, I asked for the nice rains, the rains of bracha. Yardu ketikanan. And sure enough, the rain started falling as they should. Who does Choni remind you of a little of? This is too hot, this is too cold. Ah, this is just right. A little like Goldilocks. And you're supposed to think, wait a second, Choni, who are you? And why are you talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this way? And this isn't tefillah. This is, I don't know, your own method of communication. But what's the strangest part? Hashem is answering him. This is working. Not only is it working, but now that everything is raining so nicely, Ad shalu kol ha'am laharabayit mipnei ha'gshamim. What starts happening? Everyone starts running to the Beis HaMikdash. That's interesting. Why run to the Beis HaMikdash? You might ask here, what happens if tomorrow I heard, but you know that everything changes like 10 minutes before, which is just Hashem's way of saying that he's the best weatherman. In control of the weather. And what happens when it starts to like rain all of a sudden here in camp? What does everyone do?
Recover.
You have to recover? Is there like an official place that everyone goes? No, anywhere. Anywhere, any place. And that's what you would think everyone would do now. And yet, everyone runs to the Beis HaMikdash. If you turn your page over again, you'll see, why do they run to the Beis HaMikdash? You see where it says, why do they run Zafta to the Beis HaMikdash? So, not the second page, second meaning second side, second page, whatever it may be. And where it says, why do they run to the Beis HaMikdash? Anyone remember when Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, he said that the primary purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be for what? What's the Beis HaMikdash going to be? It's going to be a makom tefillah. It's going to be our stairway to Shamayim. And we still relate to it that way. How do we know we still relate to the Beis HaMikdash that way? What do we do every time we daven? And where's the Beis HaMikdash from here? This direction? Oh, yes, obviously. That's right, thank you. Gana, so you still believe. Night that, yes, this is, as Shlomo HaMelech says, this is going to be a big tefillah. And specifically for what? What do we need tefillah for? Shlomo HaMelech says, Hashem, Atat Tashma HaShamayim, through the Beit HaMikdash, may our tefillot go up to Shamayim, V'salachta L'chatat Amcha Yisrael, V'ashivot Al Damash, V'natati Lavotam, V'hatzer Shamayim. So specifically, when there aren't rain, when rains aren't coming, V'lo Yematar Ki Yachtu'ulach, when we sin, V'et Palalu El HaMakom HaZeh, they'll do tshuva, they'll daven, and you'll answer us. You'll answer us with what? With rain. So notice that Choni is basically reinvigorating almost this aspect of the Beis HaMikdash from the time of Shlomo. He's saying, look, again, let's go to the Beis HaMikdash, a place where we appreciate that Hashem has answered our tefillot through rainfall. Let's take a look one last time. Don't worry, I'm not going to have you flip the whole night. Again, but let's look at the last part of the story. What happens then? And they run to the Beis HaMikdash. Amru lo Rebbe, kishem shitpalata sheyardu, kachit palel v'yachu lahem. Okay, Choni, thank you so much. There's been so much rain, and, right, everyone's hot, very hot. Was today a hot day? just a little bit. And maybe in the recesses of your mind, you were thinking, you know, it would be so nice if it would rain just so that it would cool down a little. But how long do you want it to rain for? That, a whole day? Oh, that's a long time, right? Then all the programming, right? You have to, well, again, this is going to be very difficult. So to Bnei Yisrael, believe it or not. Okay, Choni, thank you so much for the rain. Mitsuyan, Maspik, we had enough rain. So now, Choni, can you please dive in so that the rain will stop? Do you remember how we started the Mishnah that I asked you to remember? Are you allowed to dive in so that rain stops? No, that's the halacha. Sorry, you can't dive in for too much rain. And sure enough, Choni says, Mekublani, but you know, the halacha that I learned was that in mitpalelin al rov hatova, that even when there's a lot of rain, because rain is a bracha, you don't ask Hashem, you don't dive in for rain to stop. Af bal pichin, haviu li parhuda. What does Choni basically say? He says, the halacha is X, but nonetheless, okay, you know, let's do something a little different. And you're wondering, Choni, who in the world are you? And if you're not confused enough, what does he do? Choni takes a big par. And who do you know takes a big par? A big cow, a big ox. A Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, right? Meaning this is a big korban. Hevilu par hoda, samach shtei yadav alav. So he puts his hands on the par, and he says, Amar lefana ribono shel olam. Tell me who he reminds you of. Hashem, Amcha Yisrael showed seita mi Mitzrayim. Am Yisrael that you took out of Mitzrayim, einan yecholin lo berov tova, lo berov peranut, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they can't take too much good. Thank you. Ah, you're on a roll. Excellent. Why, Rabin, does he remind you of Moshe? Beautiful. And he used this lashon, right, of Amcha Yisrael asher hu seita mi Mitzrayim. Right? Who talks the nation that you took out of Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem took his nation, right, this nation, out of Mitzrayim. Choni is living 1,300 years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That's like me turning to you and saying, okay, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're the nation that Hashem saved from the Spanish Inquisition. Does that make much sense? No, I would say, we're the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, right, saved us from, you know, in 1967 with the miracles of the Six-Day War, right? Something that's relevant. Choni is so anachronistic. It seems that Choni really isn't relating to his time period. He's not relating to a system of tefillah and taniyot. He's doing this very interesting rain dance. He's not relating to the halachic system of his time, which demands you don't dive in when there's too much rain. And just as a proof, Chazal are actually saying, you know who he reminds us of? He reminds us of a Navi who lived 800 years earlier. And he reminds us here of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, it seems that Choni, in fact, really is living, so to speak, out of his time period. He sees himself like a Navi who has a direct relationship with Hashem. So he takes this par and he says, Hashem, ka'as aleihem, when you're too angry with the Ami Yisrael, inan yecholin la'amod. Hishpat aleihem tova, inan yecholin la'amod. They can't tolerate too much good, they can't tolerate too much bad. Hashem, can you please make the rain stop and the wind come? And now you know enough about Choni to know what's going to happen. Hashem, make the rain stop and the wind come. What happens? What do you think is going to happen? Right away? The rain stop and the winds come. Take a look. Miyan nashva haruach minit pazru havim. All of a sudden, the cloudy skies go away. Again, the winds blow the clouds away. Vizarcha hachama. I always picture, again, maybe I'm being anachronistic right now. You know, like the Teletubbies, you know, that scene. All of a sudden, again, they come out. Again, the sky is so blue. Again, zarcha hachama. V'yatsua am l'sadeh v'vilen k'mihen v'triot. And then, you know, beautiful sunny day. Again, they start collecting mushrooms. Like, what just happened here? Again, here you have Choni, who is, again, okay, Hashem, no, too little rain. Ah, too much rain. Just right. Okay, too much rain still. Okay, we're going to stop this. Hashem, let's stop. And now the sun is shining brightly. And if the story would end here, what would you think of the story? Who's the hero of the day? Choni. Choni is amazing. He's this magician. I don't know what type of relationship he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this is fascinating. He does this rain dance. Hashem, I'm not moving from my circle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him. And I could think, if the story would end here, okay, maybe this is what we should do. Maybe we should start like drawing circles and talking to Hashem in this chutzpitzik manner. And I don't know, calling upon like tzaddikim to start doing these rain dances. I remember growing up in camp, and we really did have this rain dance, right? Uni kuchika, you remember? And I look back and I think that was like Avodah Zarah. I know, but back to this, this really does. Again, this sounds so strange. It really is Avodah that is Zarah. It's so strange to us to think of this as the way to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. And as we said, if the story would end here, we think, oh my, Choni is really the hero. But the story doesn't end here. And now we're going to pay attention to messages that Chazal are clearly trying to give us. What's the end of the story? Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Firstly, how did the story begin? Everyone see at the beginning? Shalchu lo l'choni ha-ma'agil. They sent. It seems that there were representatives for House of Sanhedrin who went and sent a message to Choni, but now Shalach, Shimon ben Shetach, is either the Nasi or the Av Beitin of the Sanhedrin. He's the one in charge. Was he behind the original message to Choni? Clearly not, right? Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Now I have to tell you, Shimon ben Shetach is a little scary. Not only is he the brother of Shlomtzion Hamalka, who's married to Alexander Yanai at the turn of the first century, but he is also very, very scary. Take a look, sorry, on the other side of the page. Again, who is Shimon ben Shetach? We know of interesting stories of Shimon ben Shetach, but here is like a really scary one. In Masechet Sanhedrin, we hear that Shimon ben Shetach heard that there were witches in Ashkelon. And a witch, like, don't picture just like the wicked witch of the... What is she? The West? The East? And after Bewitched, I don't even know anymore. There were witches who were performing all different types of sorcery in Ashkelon. And Shimon ben Shetach sent his son. And then he had 80 witches killed or basically hanged in one day. Even though generally, generally you don't kill more than one person. Based on capital punishment, the Sanhedrin doesn't execute more than one person a day. And Shimon ben Shetach had 80 women hanged. What does that tell you about Shimon ben Shetach? What does he not tolerate? He doesn't tolerate like any witchcraft business, right? Do you see this? He doesn't tolerate any of the sorcery. So, without knowing anything else about Shimon ben Shetach, what do you think he's going to think about Choni's rain dance? He's not going to like this rain dance. Because what's so scary about this rain dance? What can people think after this rain dance? That, okay, that even though either, you know, to communicate with God like this, or people may think, wow, maybe Choni's a Navi who has this direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe we're living back in a time of Nebuah, even though prophecy expired 800 years earlier. Or maybe...
if you just build a circle and ask God,
then you can do this. Exactly. Maybe we should all try this. Okay, we're going to build a circle. We're going to start having rain dances outside in camp. And maybe this is how we should worship. So Shimon ben Shetach says, no, no, no. Shimon ben Shetach, we're going to see, gets the last word here. And he says, Il male choni ata. If you were not choni. What does he mean by that? And you are really a yachid bidoreno. You are an exception to the rule, choni. Goes rani alecha nidui. In other words, had this not worked, I would have excommunicated you. I would have told everyone, strange man, stay away from him. But, aval ma'asa lecha, sh'ata mitchatel lefnei ha'makom v'osa lecha ritzonecha. But what can I do? Because you're a little spoiled, just like you said, you're a ben bayit in front of Hashem, and Hashem, though, does whatever you ask. Like a son that asks his father, Abba, holicheni l'rachatzeni b'chamin, Abba, wash me off in hot water. No, no, no. Abba, wash me off in cold water. Tainli egozim, shkedim, afarsekim, rimonim. That would be like today. Give me lollipops and gumdrops and jelly beans. Vino tainlo. And the father just keeps on giving the child whatever they ask for. So, Choni, I don't know what to tell you. I want to write, like after the story, Shimon ben Shetach basically is saying, you know, Surgeon General's warning, don't try this at home. Right? Don't do what Choni did. But what can I do? Did it work? It worked. And this is fascinating. That it really, really worked. And therefore he turns to Choni and he says, but, again, really, this is a dangerous way of acting. You're the exception to the rule. You're this child who has this very special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why this story always bothered me to a certain degree. On one hand, Shimon ben Shetach gets the last line. He
he gets the bad word. He basically says, okay, we still have a system, a halachic system. We are not living in the times of Nebuah anymore, which means that when there is rain, you're not going to start drawing and doing rain dances. Rather, you're going to fast and you're going to daven and fast and daven and fast and daven because that's the halachic system. Okay, so then why do we have this phony story? What are Chazal trying to tell us? On one hand, Shimon ben Shetach is the bottom line. On the other hand, what Chomi did worked. And I believe Chazal are teaching us is that there really is a halachic system. The halachic system, there isn't rain. You know what you have to do? You have to fast. You have to daven. And it's not as a direct system as we had when we had a Nabi, where we used to be able to go to a Nabi and say, what's going on? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholding rain? And the Nabi would tell us what Hatavim, what our sins are. He would explain to us how we can improve ourselves. And he would turn and he would appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we would dive into Tshuva and run to the Beis HaMikdash. But without that Nabi, what Chazal are telling us is, it's not as direct, but we still have a way of relating to Hashem. And that is Tefillah and Ta'anit. But what Choni did in the end wasn't so wrong for Choni. In other words, there is room, even within Yahadut, there is room for rain dances. What do I mean by that? And he would wake up one morning and say, okay, and I want to fulfill my chova of shacharis by taking a darbuka, going to a nearby bungalow colony, and I don't know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, and singing and begging on my drum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Would you be Yotze, your Chova of Shacharis? No. And how are you Yotze Shacharis? You have to ideally go inside a building that has windows, right, and ideally, again, even with a minion, to say Yehishmei Rabbah. Ideally, and you would, and even on the most basic level, you would take 3 steps forward. Again, you would daven to Hashem. You would say Tefillah Tamida to make sure you get your Shevach Bakasha and your Hodaya, and that would be your Tefillah. But at the same time, it's okay to also, in addition to that, there's room for reasons. There's room for different approaches to have a decision. And the way that I feel or express my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not necessarily be the same way that the person davening next to me expresses oneself. Can anyone tell me how even within Tefillah today, we have this tension? On one hand, we all have to daven, and we all have to daven a certain way. Shimon ben Shetach said, that's the halacha, Shevach, Bakasha, Hodaya. Again, you have to make sure that you daven this nusach. On the other hand, my Tefillah is never going to be exactly the same as your Tefillah, or your Tefillah, or your Tefillah. Why not? Because there's room for a little chomi in all of us. There's room for a little bit of that self-expression in all of us. How do we express that in tefillah? In the use of tefillah? Anyone know? How do I put a little bit of my own rain dance in my tefillah? We're in Shema Koleinu, right? At the time of Shema Koleinu, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to say things, Hashem, in my words, which are my words and not your words. Right. I'm going to, before, by the way, you don't even have to bring to Shema Koleinu, before the chatima of every bracha, I can say, I'm taking my driver's ed test today, please help me. And you can add your own personal dance, your own personal part of Avodas Hashem. And that's why I wanted to explore now, to basically get a sense in our last few minutes of how we still, believe it or not, have a little bit of Choni in our tefillah, and that is only if we really understand what tefillah is all about. So what tefillah and tanit, we still have the system till today. So what is tefillah? So interestingly, again, if you turn to the third page, this is where we're going to get a sense, a little bit more of the nature of tefillah. By the way, one last word about Choni. Right after this story, there's another famous story, and I'm going to tell you very quickly about Choni, because I think you all know the story. A story of Choni who didn't understand the pasuk Shir HaMalot B'Shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kachomim. Why didn't Choni understand this pasuk? Oh yes, Hashem, when you brought us back after 70 years of Galut, we were like dreamers. Right? Did you all dream nicely last night? Yeah?
No one? No one remembers a dream? Yeah, you remember your dream. Excellent. Miss Leah, what do you dream about? Do you mind sharing with us? It's very weird, right? Most of us have weird dreams. Excellent. That's right. And do you mind if I ask, though, did the dream, like, span some time?
Yes.
Yes? How long?
It was, like, months.
Months. That's right. And yet, how long were you probably dreaming for? Exactly. Everyone say that? Perfect. That's really, really true. So Chani basically says, wait a second, you mean to say that when Hashem brought us back after 7 years, it was like a chalom, it was quick? What do you mean? That was not quick. How long did it take for us to get back to Yerushalayim? 7 years. 7 years is not a chalom. 7 years is not quick.
Why does that make so much sense? That's what he's going to say that. Because when he is Mr.
You asked for it, you got it. Miyad. And now too much rain, too little rain. Oh, okay. Let the rain stop. 7 years is an eternity.
And let's prove it. Chazal tells us that one day he was walking through the field
and he saw a man who was planting carob trees. And we'll
talk again, a carob basically from the word of karuv, korban. And as someone was planting from destruction. And he says, how long is it going to take? And what did the man say? To bear fruit. 7 years, he said.
So why are you planting?
Why are you planting if you can't
have an apple right now?
And what does the man explain? Because, honey, you don't get it. It's a process. We're not going to see the results right away.
I came into a world, and I didn't even get to meet my grandfather, but I got to eat the carrots that he planted 7 years before. And I'm not planting this for me. I'm planting this for my grandchild. Sure enough, Choni went to sleep, wakes up, sees someone picking the fruit, said, oh, did you plant it? No, 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 that was my grandfather. Oh, my gosh, I've been sleeping for 7 years. And we know that he can't handle it. He goes back home. No one even knows who he is. Until they asked for rachamim, and he died. And why is this so significant? Because he doesn't understand what a process is. He doesn't understand that sometimes we daven, and does HaKadosh Baruch Hu always answer our tefillah firstly right away? Does Hashem always answer our tefillah the way that we want Him to answer our tefillah? Too much rain, too little rain. Heal her, Gana, heal him. No, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes there's a process. Sometimes we don't really appreciate something until in hindsight we understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu never really put everything together beautifully and really did answer my tefillah, even if I didn't see it that way initially. And that's exactly what we see by Choni. And this is going to tell us a tremendous amount about tefillah. Because what is tefillah? We find that Chazal tell us that we learn the pasuk, again from the pasuk in Devarim, ulavdo b'chol levavchem. Tefillah, as we began our shiur, is avodah. It's really hard. And just when you think, after a day with your campers, that chesed is hard, and it is hard. And just when you think, coming to a shiur, and it's already 10:30 at night, and you're so exhausted, and you're thinking, but I know that I want to learn Torah. And it's really good. It is. And that at the same time, it's so hard. Even though Torah is hard, and even though chesed is hard, what do Chazal call avodah? Tefillah. And even though Chazal said, well, maybe la'abdo is Talmud, maybe it means learning, maybe la'abdo is bringing karbanot, in the end, eis of the avodah shebalev, that's tefillah. Tefillah is avodah. It's really hard work. It's hard work to understand that we don't necessarily feel like Choni. And if it was a rain dance that would bring rain right away and stop rain right away, then we wouldn't call it avodah. But working on ourselves and believing that we can communicate with our that's real work. That's very hard. And Chazal explained then, where does this come from? What is the basis for tefillah? How do we even know then that if I communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there really is a process? How do I know that tefillah, strangely, is the replacement for nevuah? Instead of talking directly to Hashem and getting an answer, or Hashem communicating with a Nabi, now it's a one-way street. We communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we truly believe that it is like Nevuah, that Hashem does communicate in response. How do we know that? Let's take a look at the bottom of page 3, the Gemara Masechet Brachot, Chav Vav Amud Bet. Itmar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Tefillot Avot Tikanum. Sorry, Tefillah is not a modern convention. The Avot Davened. Rabbi Yosef Ben Levi says, Tefillah Keneged Tzvizim Tikanum. Actually, Tefillah is in replacement of Karbanot, because once upon a time when they brought Karbanot, they used to daven. And now comes along Rabbi Yosef Bar Rabbi Chanina, and he says, I'll bring you proofs that Avram davened, Vayeshkem Avram Baboker, Avram davened on behalf of the people of Stone. And Yitzchak Yitzchak, Vayitzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh, Yitzchak Daven, Beresh Yituchem, for his family, and Yaakov. Again, Vayitzchak Bamakom, Yaakov Daven, for his own survival, which is so interesting. Avram Davening for the universal welfare, Yitzchak for his Mishpacha, Yaakov for himself. Three different aspects of Tefillah. And Rabbi Yeshua says, wait a second. Again, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, well, we also know from Karbanot, we offer a Shacharit, a Tamid of Shacharit, a Tamid of Bein Harbayim, again, of Mincha, and it continues to burn throughout the night. So they both have very strong support in Sukkim, and even beyond that, again, even in Sfarah. And the truth is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in the end, it seems that Tefillah really is coming connected to Karbanot, because for what karban do we have a tefillah for that we don't have another forefather for? Musaf, that's right. But take a look at the conclusion of the Gemara on the top of page 4. Amar lecha Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, la'olam eimelcha tefillah avdot tikanu, masmachi urabanan akarbanot. But in the end, bottom line, again, a tefillah, says that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, is really based on the avdot. And in the end, the times are going to be more based perhaps on the karbanot. No. Again, how about tefillat musa? Okay, fine. Tefillot avot tikanum. Still, again, one can say that the basis for tefillah, this is a natural human need. From the time of the avot, we have tefillah. And sure enough, the karbanot is also going to be an expression of our needs. And the times and the details are based on karbanot. But what is this machloket really about? Do you mind if I ask, is it a historical dispute that I'm having? Rabbi Yossi Barabi Panina saying, started in the time of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying tefillah started only during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and of the Mishkan, perhaps, of bringing karbanot. What are they really arguing over? They're arguing over the nature of tefillah. What does it mean to say that Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov davened? When did they daven? How did they daven? Why did they daven? Did they daven 3 times a day? Did they daven all the time? Do they daven, I don't know, every day? Certain psukim are cited to tell us that the avot davened when they really needed something. The avot davened in a spontaneous fashion. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is trying to tell us what's the nature of tefillah. Tefillah has to be spontaneous. Don't forget about choni. Tefillah has to have a little bit of a dance to it. Tefillah has to be an expression about how you're feeling. And sometimes that feeling is going to be a feeling of despair. A feeling of such hakaras hatov to Hashem. And sometimes that feeling is going to be a kadosh baruch. Oh, I don't know if I can get up for another day of this. And that's what tefillah is, says Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say? Tefillah is connected karbanot. You're in the mood? You're not in the mood? Sorry. What do you have to do? You have to bring your karban. Whether you're in the mood or not in the mood. Because you know what tefillah is? It's like karbanot. It's something consistent. It's service. It's worship of Hashem. It's a recognition that you have the zchut to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to say the same thing every day. And you have to recognize that Hashem is Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And you can't change from the nusach of the bracha because this is an expression of standing before Hashem. And the same machloket tana'im. If you take a look on the bottom of page 4, you see continues through what? The Amoraim, again, that we just mentioned. And we see this in various expressions. For example, on one hand, tefillah really is tachanumim. It's application, it's like the avot, it's a rain dance. How do we see this? Because Chazal learned that women are chayav in tefillah as well. Why? Wait, I thought tefillah is an interpretation of my drama. Don't we have to say that certain times? But tefillah is rachamim. Is rachamim, is our supplication, our needs from Hashem. Is that dependent on certain times? No. We always need to recognize. We always recognize our vulnerabilities. And I'm sure, Anna, you here have the zchut to see that day in and day out. How vulnerable we really are. And therefore, everyone's chayav in tefillah because it's not bound to a certain time. Anna, the next source as well. That Rabbah would watch Rav Hamnuna, daven, daven, daven. And he would turn to him and he would say, why are you leaving Chaye Olam? Why are you learning more Torah, which will give you long life? Ba'oskin b'chaye sha'a. And you're just dealing with what you need right now. Tefillah is the needs that we need now to survive. And obviously, what did Rav Hamnuna feel? Yeah, every moment of every day, what do I need? I need Hashem to survive. So I have to deal with Chayei Sha'ah. I have to deal with my needs right now because every moment we have needs. Right now, I need to eat. Right now, I need to sleep. Right now, I need to get up. Right now, I need Parnassa. Right now, I need Refuah. Right now, I need the Beis HaMikdash. Right now, I need all of Am Yisrael to be together. And this is what tefillah is. And there are so many sources. I only gave you a few examples of tefillah serving as tachanunim, which is a beautiful expression of what Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Hanina says. Tefillah, can I get up? And we have to make sure that when we daven, that we don't forget about this aspect of tefillah. That we don't forget that we can each have a little bit of a rain dance. And they describe Rabbi Akiva, I love this as well, they say that Rabbi Akiva would start davening in one corner, and by the time he was finished davening, he'd be in the other corner. How'd that happen? How do you think Rabbi Akiva davened? Do you ever see people davening like this? Yeah, and that's somehow he moved. He saw tefillah this way. He did see tefillah a little bit like holy. And of course, I have to daven with a certain nusach in a certain position, more or less. But I'm not going to let that take away from my personal expression. Because my needs are different right now than your needs and your needs. But at the same time, one has to remember that tefillah is also avodah in the sense of worshiping Hashem, recognizing that we're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam has him. So the same machloket, again, of the Amoraim continues as a machloket amongst the Rishonim. The Ramban, who sees tefillah mitoraita as eitzara, that's when you daven, when you really need, like the Avos. The Rambam says, no, tefillah is mitoraita. Ulavdol b'chol avavchem, every moment. A person should realize that they're standing before Hashem. Yireh atzmo kiloh omeh l'pnei hashchina. And therefore, every moment, ulavdol b'chol avavchem, constantly in service and worshiping Hashem. So when I'm not in the mood, I have to daven, and that's a boda, and it's hard to bring a karban, even when I'm not in the mood. And that also is part of what the rubric of Avodas Hashem is all about. That's part of the reason, as you know, that when one davens, one is supposed to see oneself as standing before Hashem, at least for the first bracha. That's why the Torah says, and I'm sure you know this also, that when a person's davening and you have to go through, what should you do? And you really should not sit down if you're within Dalid Amos, if you're within four Amos of that person, because that person is standing before Hashem, so you shouldn't sit down because Hashem is right there. And this is certainly an expression of Tefillah Moriz Avodah. So we're going to end with a beautiful Medrash, and then end with a Harav Salavitcher, really synthesizing these ideas. And I hope that the idea then of Choni's rain dance and Rav Shimon ben Shetach's very strict halachic view. I hope that you take this with you in your tefillah. But I hope that, again, you also recognize that in order for us to appreciate tefillah, it helps when we see the challenges of tefillah. It helps when we explore tefillah. It helps just like your chesed is going to be greater chesed when it's rooted in Torah learning. So too, Torah, Avoda, Milut Chesedim. So too, your avoda, tefillah is going to be greater the more you learn about it. And that's why we're going to devote this summer space medrash to learning about tefillah. And you'll see how much there is to learn about it. And I would love to guarantee, but you know, there are no guarantees, but I am pretty sure that each time you learn a little bit more about tefillah, it's going to somehow affect your tefillah more, which means that it's affecting your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. And Chazal saw this in every aspect. Let's take a look at the Midrash Tanchuma that explains beautifully. Why do we have Dafka 18 Brachot of Shmona Esrei, which, as you know, is what tefillah really is, right? Even though when we say, oh, are you going to daven, we mean, are you going to say Brachos HaShachar, Mesukim HaZimra, Brachos Kriya Shema? But when Chazal talk about tefillah, they're talking about Amida Lefnei Hashem, literally the Amida, they're talking about Shmona Esrei. So Chazal asked, that when Chazal composed the Shmona Esrei, they came up with 18 brachot. It must be that there's something significant about 18. What's the irony? And then we have 19. But, okay, there must have been something significant originally about 18. So Chazal say, yes, 18 is very significant. What are we all thinking when we're thinking 18? Hi, again, Shmona Esrei provides for life. That's very nice. But actually, Yana, there were many different explanations that were offered. Rabbi Yochanan says, K'neged yud chet sivuyim sheba mishkan. Rabbi Yochanan says, isn't that amazing? That it's exactly 18 brachot, just like it says 18 times at the end of Parashat Yehudei, Kasher tziva Hashem Moshe kein asa. Kasher tziva Hashem Moshe kein asa. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? What is Shmona Esrei? Shmona Esrei is like building the Mishkan. What does that mean? Shmona Esrei is a way of seeing avodat korbanot, of building the Mishkan, of service of Hashem. And all these other explanations. There are 18 different, again, vertebrae in our spine. Or take a look at Rabbi Shimon. K'neged yud chad nizmorim shemirose for tehillim. In accordance or parallel to the first 18 mizmorim tehillim that we say until we get to Mizmor 19, which is Yancha Hashem Yom Tzara. Hashem, answer me on the day of my troubles. How does Rabbi Shimon see tefillah? Not like a structure, avavodas Hashem, rather like Tehillim. And it's more of a dance. It's more of supplication before Hashem. It's tachanunim. And it's fine to see it both ways. Because you can see tefillah only like Rav Shimon ben Chetzach, and that's fine. That's like the Rambam. That's like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'm standing before Hashem, and even if I'm not in the mood, I'm going to recognize that I'm vulnerable before God. And that's how I'm going to approach my relationship with God. But then again, there's a little bit of Koni in all of us. And Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol ha'oseh tefilato keva, ein tefilato tachanunim. Chaval not to put a little bit of yourself. Chaval to forget about Rabbi Yossi Garami Chavina. Chaval not to daven a little bit like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, with that spontaneous expression of emotion. Chaval not to put a little dance, an emotional dance, into your tefilah. Rav Soloveitchik expresses this beautifully when he says that at first glance you think that the Rambam and Ramban, you always learn this, it's a tremendous machloket. The Rambam who believes, one can argue like Rav Shimon ben Chetach, that, okay, it's avoda. The Ramban, no, it's tachanunim, it's spontaneous. He says, but actually they can both be reconciled. Both regard tefillah as meaningful, only if it's, like the Ramban says, an eight sarah. But the difference is how you understand the word. The Rambam regards daily life as existentially an eight sarah. Because the Ramban believes that there are going to be times in our lives wherein we feel this dependency on Hashem. A relative, lo alinu, is sick. And we need parnasa. We really miss the Beis HaMikdash. And we need help with our intellectual capacities. So the Ramban says, that's when you're really going to daven of that very special, spontaneous tachanunim. The Rambam says, no, that's constant. Every moment you're supposed to feel as an Eitzara. And that's why every moment feel as Mikro Raita. Every moment you feel you're standing before Hashem, because every moment you sense how vulnerable you are. It's a persistent Tzara. B'chol Yom. Because Tzara doesn't just mean external trouble. Sara means an inner and an externally induced state of constriction or oppression. Out of this sense of discomfiture, prayer emerges. When I'm not comfortable, when I realize that something isn't right, offered in comfort and security, prayer is a paradox. Modern methods of suburban worship are plush as synagogues notwithstanding. The desire for proximity of wife and children and services, comfort and need of service and comfort. And that the Rav Soloveitchik is referring to the halachot that you're supposed to daven, you're not necessarily supposed to be kissing everyone in shul, and it's not about being comfortable in shul, it's about feeling a little bit of discomfort. It's about recognizing that one always feels a sense of loneliness, helplessness, a sense of dependence. That's a tzara. And that's a tzara, Dana certainly, as a tzara tiyachid. That's what the Rambam was saying, should motivate you to realize that of course you're standing in the direction, because every moment you feel dependent on Hashem. So even according to the Rambam, even according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, of course there's an aspect of tefillah negative. That tefillah is meant to be seen. Tefillah is meant to be viewed as a spontaneous expression of emotion. Bottom line, we all have to daven. We have to daven even when we're not in the mood to daven. that bottom line, we hear the story of Koni Hamadil to remember that we're supposed to have a little bit of that chutzpah in our tefillah, a little bit of that reading in our tefillah, a little bit of that spontaneous expression of emotion, because we know that on one hand, of course, tefillah is a process. On the other hand, we should daven it as if we're turning to Hashem, begging Hashem for miyan, begging Hashem for an immediate response. On one hand, we know that galut is a process. On the other hand, we should daven it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can stop this process at any moment. And therefore, I hope that is our first year of tefillah, that you already begin to think about these different ideas. That the Ezrat Hashem, your very next tefillah tomorrow morning, should be a little different. That you should stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing your vulnerabilities. Stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Amidah lifnei Hashem. Standing before Hashem, knowing that it's the right thing to do to communicate with Hashem. But make sure that you say a little something, that you think a little something. Maybe you'll sing a little something as you also incorporate a little bit of the rain dance in your tefillah as well. So, Nana, just a little postscript. The Ezrat Hashem is part of a very dynamic Beit Midrash, and that's what I hope. Nana, you can already start moving around, but I hope that's part of a dynamic Beit Midrash, that you all feel that, again, you want to come to the Beit Midrash, and I know that you have so much going on every single night, but the hope is that, and if it turns out your chapter comes to sleep a little earlier than anticipated, or you really want to learn something. You know that feeling where you really want to learn something, but you only have like a half an hour to learn something. You're like, I don't know. So I will be emailing Rabbi Michelle and Amira on a weekly basis. Again, the co-wrote that you will have that you can always prepare even before this year. So even if you don't get to certain co-wrote during this year, you'll always know that you have the option of learning them on your own. And if you learn them on your own, then obviously you'll even gain more from this year itself. And Be'ezrat Hashem, this way we can incorporate even some chavrusa time in this year, and it will create a certain aftut of learning, so that we all know that we're on the same page. I hope that you continue to discuss these ideas one with the other during the week. So as we said, our next year is going to be in 2 weeks' time, Be'ezrat Hashem, and then from that time, every Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Have a pleasure.
Hi. Hi. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, I remember.